on the zone reads, how many of those are predetermined handoffs? And then when you are having a true read where you hand it, keep it, what's the percentage that you feel like you're reading it correctly?
Every one of them, reading it correctly. When it's a zone read, it is a read, so none of them are predetermined handoffs.
Tennessee quarterback Hendon Hooker, when I asked him about the zone read, how many are predetermined? None of them, he said.
That was not the case under Butch Jones.
That's correct.
That was different. That's different. If that's true, that's different.
Yeah, that is different, because there were a lot of predetermined runs with, like, Jalen Hurd, for example. So, but I was just curious about that. I wondered how much freedom he had, and he said he's got the freedom on each time to keep or hand off, depending on the read.
Which goes back to the Pitt game and a bad, bad read by the quarterback on the goal line down there. So I think I was correct last week when I said that's what the coach was talking about. We didn't execute on the we were on the shotgun snap subject, and we stuck it in a guy's belly, and he got tackled for a two-yard loss.
Yeah.
Quarterback was supposed to keep that because that was a crashing in that made that tackle.
Yep, so. I agree. I think that's exactly what happened on that play.
Well, you did a good job. You got us proof of our theory, Jimmy.
Yeah. that's what investigative reporters do.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Sunday Sports Sound Off with Tim Irwin. I'm Jimmy Himes. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Let's hear more from Hendon Hooker. So he got the start. That wasn't a surprise. He played pretty well against Pitt after the injury to Joe Milton. Even on Wednesday, I'm not even sure Milton was going much. And then afterward, Heupel acknowledged that Hooker took about either 100% or 99% of the snaps with the first team. So comments from Hendon Hooker post-game. He was asked, what kind of impression do you think your performance today made on the coaching staff?
I feel like I had a pretty good showing, had some things I can clean up, you know, be a lot more cleaner in my intermediate game for sure. I was taking care of the ball.
What's it like when you know you're going for it on fourth down?
Honestly, when the fourth down comes around, it's just another down, just playing the play out, try to play every play as this individual play and executing.
How much difference does it make in your play when you're getting the first team reps leading into a game?
Every game, come in and study and take the mental reps as a starter, so when my time or my number is called, I'm ready to go.
But how much does it help you to get those first team reps in addition to the mental?
It's pretty much the same, honestly. You're doing the same preparation.
How did you handle it when Joe Milton was named the starter the first two games?
Just being a great teammate at the end of the day, supporting him in any way I can, telling him what I see from the sideline, just being supportive is the biggest factor in the quarterback room when it is a battle, because you push each other every day to be the best that you can be.
How did being in quarterback battles in the past at Virginia Tech specifically help you in regard to being prepared to step in after Milton's injury?
Just like I said before, you know, just still studying and taking the mental reps as being the starter and just being prepared when my number's called, whenever.
Comments from Hendon Hooker. So we'll see going forward. Tim, I'm with you. I think he starts against Florida. I think he should start against Florida. And then based on how he performs, we'll see where this thing goes. I don't think that Tennessee is committed to one guy at quarterback right now. Do you?
I don't know. I always wondered, sitting up here in this booth, what his middle name is.
Hendon Hooker's?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
No, I'm asking.
I don't know.
I just wondered what his middle name is. I wondered if we had another Triple H in town is what
oh,
I was wondering.
Yeah. All right.
I just thought maybe, you know, Halloran had some competition.
Well, I don't know. I'll have to look that one up. I don't know his middle name.
Haven't been interviewed at one time or another in various stages of my career by everybody that works in this building, I think. Halloran does a good interview. The most uncomfortable I've ever been in an interview was with Phil Williams when he worked for another station a long time ago. Mm-hmm. In my very first interview promoting the Bass Tournament, the first question he asked me live on the air, here's my good friend Tim Irwin. Tim, boxers or briefs? First thing he asked me. And That hung me up. I got to admit, that hung me up.
You never know what you're going to get with man Phil Williams.
No,
there,
you
do
don't.
Let's go through some scores with the SEC. So Penn State 28-20 over Auburn, really good football game. Really bad officiating in that game, but a good game. Penn State gets the win. As an electric crowd at Penn State. We mentioned Alabama over Florida 31-29. Memphis beating Mississippi State by a similar score. Texas A&M rolled over New Mexico 34-0. New Mexico had less than 150 yards of offense. Their quarterback, Terry Wilson, who used to be Kentucky's quarterback. Kentucky 28-23 over Chattanooga. Boy, they fought for that one. They were down in the fourth quarter, Kentucky was, and had difficulty against the Mocs. Georgia handled South Carolina 40-13. Not much competition there. South Carolina's starting quarterback was back. Didn't make much difference. Arkansas defeating Georgia Southern 45-10. You wondered if they'd have a letdown after their big victory over Texas. Not so much. And their quarterback, K.J. Jefferson, that I criticized his passing the first couple of games, 366 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. It's the first 3-0 start for Arkansas since 2016. LSU beating Central Michigan 49-21. Max Johnson threw for about 400 yards and multiple touchdowns. He had a big game against Central Michigan, whose coach is Jim McElwain, the former head coach at Florida. Stanford 41-23 over Vanderbilt. But if you think that's high scoring, Ole Miss 61-21 over Tulane. Biggest surprise there is that Tulane didn't score more. I thought they'd get more than 21.
I thought Tulane was supposed to be pretty decent this year, too.
Well, Oklahoma beat them 40-35.
Yeah, and I'm surprised a little bit by that one. You know, it's going to be interesting when Tennessee plays Ole Miss and both teams trying to go fast. That's going to be – that game might last 6 hours.
Goodness gracious. The Pitt game lasted 4.
Yeah.
My gosh. And there were about 16 possessions on each side. Missouri 59-28 over Southeast Missouri State. So those are the SEC scores from over the weekend. Let's go back to the phones where Roger is our next caller. Good morning, Roger.
Well, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Tim. How y'all doing this morning?
We're doing fine, Roger. Thank you.
Oh, good, good. I just want to ask you a few things here. Tim. First, Tim, of the game, Tim, I just want to ask you, I know that Tennessee scored a lot of points, and talking about Hooker. I just want to ask you, would you happy how he done, and would you happy how Tennessee done? I know they didn't play anybody really good at all, but they kind of had times. I know how for what happy with the how they. That's why I asked you, would you happy how they how they played yesterday, Tim?
No, I wasn't happy with their offensive line play, Roger. I wasn't happy with the defensive pass rush. I was okay with the quarterback play. I mean, he played all right. He didn't play great. He played okay. And I was okay with the way our defense tackled and our run defense. And I thought our special teams was pretty good, except we keep getting a penalty every game that eliminates a return for a touchdown. We can't have that. When you get lucky enough to get one of those returns for a touchdown, you can't get a penalty. Also, it's bothering me, and it's going to come back to haunt us. We don't seem to have the ability to kick the ball into the end zone, and that bothers me. We haven't done it but twice all year, according to my calculations. They've fair caught some balls, and we've covered the kicks well. Mm-hmm. But when you start kicking it off to kick returners with talent, that's going to be a big deal for us, not being able to kick into the end zone.
Yeah, you're right.
And the crowd noise this weekend, Roger, coming up. Yeah. We haven't played a game.
Yeah.
None of these players have played a game in 2 years with crowd noise, with meaningful crowd noise. 2 years it's been. And we go down to the swamp, there's going to be meaningful crowd noise. It bothered Alabama a bunch in that game yesterday.
Yeah, you're right, Tim. And you're right. I thought the game against 40 camera. I don't think you can tell me not. I feel for it. I'd be curious how we did in our basically first year and you said with the players first time too. A lot of that's why I asked you, Tim. But how you think Tennessee can compete with Florida? We can hang with them for can be. You think Tennessee can compete be in the game? You think maybe in the game at all?
My heart says yes, But okay. There's always a chance when you're talking from your heart. My mind and my rational sense of reality says no way.
Okay.
Sorry.
I hear you.
You want honesty, don't you? You don't want me to sugarcoat it for you, do you, Roger? So.
No, I don't. And who would you play quarterback wise? Who would you Tim, if he was who would you play for the quarterback situation? Who would you play down there in Florida too?
Hooker.
Saturday?
Hooker. Yeah.
Okay. I hear you. All right. Well, I hope we can do it somehow, Tim. It'll be awesome if you, I hope we can do it. But that's all I have. You'll have a good one. Hey, have a good one.
Hey, Roger, appreciate it.
Thank you, Roger.
Thanks for the call. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. I realize that Velus Jones likes to compliment his teammates and be supportive. He compared Hendon Hooker to Deshaun Watson. I thought that was nice of him to do so, but I'm not sure I would quite go there yet. Deshaun Watson's won a national championship at Clemson and was a tremendous quarterback for the Texans until he ran into some off-the-field issues. But I do think Hooker is the guy that they need to roll with. And, Tim, just depending on how he plays, we'll see if he holds the job the rest of the season or not. I think it's a little bit of a fluid situation. I think it depends on how people play.
I agree. I don't think it's set in stone. I think he'll have to continue to produce, but I think right now I haven't seen anything to disqualify him from having the job currently.
We've talked about Tennessee's run defense being much improved over last year. They are giving up, as I try to do some quick math, they're probably giving up close to 50 yards a game rushing. They're giving up less than 2 yards per carry on the ground. Now, that's Bowling Green, that's Pitt, that's Tennessee Tech. Florida ran for 245 yards against Alabama. What chance do you give Tennessee of containing the Florida run game?
Zero.
That's not a very good percentage.
No, because the one thing we haven't been able to handle is a quarterback that can run the football. The only game that anybody had any success against us running the football was Pitt, because they had a good, scrambling, elusive quarterback. Well, I mean, did you watch the same game I watched yesterday? That quarterback for Florida can run it. And there's nobody that runs a quarterback more than Dan Mullins. Yeah. And we might get there some when we bring extra people. We got to have somebody spying that guy all day. I don't know how you bring extra people and have a spy also. I don't think it's a good matchup for us at a good time. Florida, Georgia, Alabama are not looking possible right now. Everybody else, you think you have a shot, but those three seem to be in a league by themselves based on what I've seen. And I've seen a fair amount of each of them.
So to contain the Florida run game, is the onus on the defensive line? Is it more on the linebackers? How much of it goes to run support from the secondary, or is it all?
Yes, would be the answer to that. It's all. It depends on the defense they got called. Now, here I am talking about something that I didn't play very much of. But the way I understand his defense, everybody's got gap responsibilities, and he's going to have somebody in every gap. Mm-hmm. And they're an attacking-type defense. They're not going to sit out there and wait. They're going to attack to their gap. So it's going to be, sometimes it'll be a lineman that has a gap. Sometimes a linebacker will be dropping off in coverage and you'll have a safety or a hopefully free runner, your nickelback even coming up, running up in there. I think that's what Theo Jackson's done some. Mm-hmm. And, kind of like Harrison Smith does with the Vikings defense, similar. So it could be any of the three levels that have to make the play. I just hope it works, and I hope they can find some way to work with their magic. I'm less worried about our defense than I am our offensive line holding up and keeping a quarterback alive and making any room at all for our running backs against Florida's defense.
with Florida's run game, do you think most of it is because they have a good offensive line, or is it most of it because they've got a really good running quarterback and really good running backs?
I think really good. I thought their offensive line played pretty well against Alabama, but most of those runs that they made were one guy missing. A lot of times the Alabama guy was there. And another area where they really excelled was a short pass out in the flat to the running backs. A bunch of those times, Alabama had them stopped, and that running back makes one wiggle and makes a guy miss. The Alabama guy was there and just missed the tackle. And that shows me that those two running backs are pretty good, as they always have a couple of running backs that are good. But nobody runs their quarterback more effectively than Dan Mullins. Nobody. Nobody.
He did it in Mississippi State for a long time, too. And has certainly done it at Florida. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear more from Josh Heupel as he breaks down the play of a couple of players and a particular unit. And then we'll also hear from Velus Jones as well, who had a big game for Tennessee against Tennessee Tech yesterday. With Tim Irwin, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Sunday Sports Sound Off, brought to you by the Marcos Garza Law Firm.
All week, Coach Banks and Coach Martinez, you know, we were harping on getting turnovers and just making plays on the ball, and I feel like that was our main focus coming into the day, and we executed. You know, we played hard, we played fast, we played when we want to, and it showed.
That's Tennessee safety Jalen McCullough. He had one of Tennessee's four interceptions. Tennessee had not created a turnover in the first two games. They get four against Tennessee Tech. Welcome back to Sunday Sports Sound Off, brought to you by Marcos Garza Law Firm. With Tim Irwin, I'm Jimmy Himes. Let's hear some more from Josh Heupel as he talks about some individuals and then about a particular unit on the team. Here's Heupel talking about the performance of Velus Jones.
Thought he did a great job with the ball in his hands. As a returner, big plays. I think he housed one, right, that got called back. Might have been the first one in the ball game for us. Thought he was really pretty sound as a decision maker back there as a returner on the punt returns as well. Close to coming out of a couple more. Wide receiver, huge play, you know, where he goes in down the sidelines. He's a guy that's just, you know, one, has the ability to make plays for us. His experience is helpful for us, and that's when he's playing outside or in the slot offensively. He's just got to clean up a couple of things, and I say that having said that to him, you know, this past week and in the locker room today too, that continue to clean up the operation so he can play as fast and as clean as he possibly can to help us be the best offense we can.
So that's Heupel on Velus Jones. Tim, we're three games in. Who's Tennessee's best wide receiver? Is it Jones?
Maybe Jones, maybe. Actually, the best wide receiver is a tight end.
Jacob Warren?
Yep. My opinion.
He had five catches last week. He had a touchdown catch yesterday.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I thought Jones last year, which I've got to see more of him than I have some of these other guys. I thought once we got in the SEC schedule that his speed didn't seem to be there like it's been in these first three games. We'll see. I mean, maybe he was nicked. I think he's had a hamstring or something this year.
He did. He didn't miss two complete weeks, but he was bothered 2 weeks by the hamstring.
Yeah. You remember Pig when he played here?
Pig Howard, yeah.
Yeah. He had a kind of like a another gear out there that you could just see. I mean, he screwed up a lot. He did a lot. He fumbled. He did some bad things, but he had another gear. And I thought when Velus came in here, he was going to be the guy with that other gear. I haven't seen that other gear. I've seen him be more of a steady player than a sensational player. Mm-hmm. But in these first three games, he's looked sensational. So I guess I'm going to withhold judgment until I see him against the speed of the SEC. And we'll see that this weekend.
I thought going in it was going to be Jalen Hyatt. He's dropped too many passes to my liking so far. So
I thought there were a couple of drops on big plays out there yesterday. I mean, they weren't easy catches, but they were in their hands.
Well, Javonte Payton made a really nice catch, deep corner of the left end zone in the south. That was a really nice play But yeah, the receiving corps has dropped too many, and the quarterbacks have missed too many open receivers.
Of course, I played with a great quarterback, Jimmy Streeter, and I remember Coach Majors saying to him many times, "Jimmy Streeter, what do you want to throw the ball for? Well, you can run down there and hand it to him. And I thought, I think a couple of times we could have run down there and handed it to a guy. You got to watch that when you're going in the end zone, you need to run down there and hand it to him when you can. Instead of taking a chance on those young receivers dropping it. And then I had a high school coach, Coach Tom Shumpert, who went on to become the county mayor, mm-hmm. Told me that when you throw it, two out of three things that can happen are bad. And so we didn't throw it much. I've had a lot of different philosophies. I also played for Peyton's coordinator, Tom Moore.
Yeah.
I played for him with the Vikings and Jerry Burns, and we threw it, and we ran it too. But I've seen the different types of philosophy. I've seen the going fast. I've seen the slow ball. And I guess you adapt your coaching philosophy to the material you have. That's not what we're doing here. Here we're bringing in a new system, and we're saying we're going to get guys that fit this system, and we don't have them yet. We don't have them yet. When you lose 44 people to transfer and other ways, decommit, retire, without even counting players that are nicked or injured, when you lose 44 like that and you've only got 70 on your scholarship roster and you're getting ready to play teams whose third string could beat you, you're in trouble. And we got at least three teams on our schedule that are like that, and we're going to see one of them on Saturday. I don't know any way to sugarcoat that out there. I am not expecting good things. I hope I'm pleasantly surprised, but I'm not expecting good things.
Well, if you look since 2000 and discounting 2004 going forward, Tennessee's beaten Florida once. And that was a game Tennessee trailed 21-0 in the first half, and they rallied to win 38-28.
And I remember that just bringing great joy to my heart. But I am not – I can't ever remember the week of Florida being this pessimistic as I am right now. Can't ever remember.
Well, maybe they'll prove you wrong.
I hope so. We'll I hope see. So. I don't want to be a harbinger of doom, and I don't want to mess things up, but I mean, I want to be honest out there too. We just don't have the horses right now.
Well, clearly Tennessee's not played a game good enough to beat Florida. They haven't, and they've got to play a clean game. They can't have penalties. They can't have drop passes. They can't miss open receivers. They got to play better than they've played in any game this year to have a chance.
I agree.
See if they can.
I agree. I agree, and I hope hope we don't go down there and give a good accounting of ourselves. And you play the game because anything can happen. But it will take a miracle.
I don't know how much impact Byron Young will have, but Byron Young basically served a 2-game suspension over an eligibility issue. He made his debut for Tennessee. I think he entered the third series against Tennessee Tech. Here's what Josh Heupel said about what he saw from Byron Young.
Without watching the tape, in what I was able to see, athletic causes issues off the edge. I thought he pushed and pressed the pocket well at times today. he's one of our best pass rushers, and we missed him the first couple of weeks. Having him back today and in the future is big for us.
So that's Heupel on Byron Young. Now with Harrison Bailey. Bailey was 3 of 7. I did not think he performed all that well. Of course, he was with a lot of backups. Here's what Heupel had to say about Harrison Bailey.
I thought he did a really good job. You know what I mean? I thought he was efficient, had his eyes on the right spot, on some of the run pass stuff. You know, he made the right decisions and got the ball out of his hands. Thought he escaped a couple times and picked up one and was close to picking up another with his feet, too.
So that's what Josh Heupel had to say about Harrison Bailey. And then finally from Heupel, one other thing. He was asked how concerned he is about the health of his offensive line. Well, we had a little bit of an issue there as we tried to get to that. But in general, he basically said, as I recall, yeah, I'm concerned because of the number of injuries and the people moving around and shuffling. I remember the offensive line coach said before the season started, hey, we got 9 or 10 guys that could start. I don't see that. Mm-hmm. I think right now, I think it's 4.
Yeah, maybe. maybe even 6, but you're past that number now. And I'll finish the quote for him. I'm concerned. I'm an offensive lineman, was an offensive lineman. I'm not now, but I'm concerned based on the offensive line play I've seen. I'm concerned at the guard position. And if Cooper comes back, I'm less concerned at the guard position. Hopefully Cooper will be able to play. Hopefully Kate will be able to play. Hopefully Carvin will get to go back to guard. Mm-hmm. And we'll be all right. That's what I'm hoping. But we better work on silent count hard this week.
Yeah, and Cooper May's injury was an ankle injury. I did not hear that it was a high ankle sprain, which certainly is more problematic. I don't know if he could have played yesterday. I had an indication that he might have been able to, but they wanted to rest him because they didn't think they had to play him. So
they were right.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully he'll be back for Florida, which I think would certainly help the production of the offensive line. All right, when we come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls to join us 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. We'll also hear more from Velus Jones. He had, as we mentioned earlier, the long kickoff return that was nullified. He went 87 yards with that. He had a 45-yard reception for a touchdown. He had a 23-yard punt return. He is showing the big playability that they were hoping they would get when he transferred in from Southern Cal. By the way, he's one of 3 players on the team that transferred in from Southern Cal, the kicker Chase McGrath, who's done very well, and then Caleb Tremblay, who's a backup defensive lineman, is also a transfer from Southern Cal that's on that Tennessee roster. So we'll hear from Jones, and then we'll break down a couple other things as well with the SEC in terms of surprises that we have seen so far in the league. So when we come back, we will have more with Tim Irwin. I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Sunday Sports Sound Off, brought to you by the Marcos Garza Law Firm.
Yes, I feel healthy. I feel 100%. You know, I've been working my tail off to get back so I can help my brothers. But yeah, I feel 100%. I feel healthy. So just been rehabbing every morning, even when I'm feeling good, you know, to stay on top of that, make sure that issue don't come back up.
That's Tennessee receiver Velus Jones. We mentioned the long kickoff return. He also had a punt return. He also had a 45-yard touchdown reception as he had a big game Saturday against Tennessee Tech. Welcome back to Sunday Sports Sound Off, brought to you by the Marcos Garza Law Firm with Tim Irwin. I'm Jimmy Himes. To join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Let's go to the phones where Jay is our next caller. Hello, Jay.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hope y'all are well.
Yes, sir. Hope you are, too.
I wanted to talk to y'all about just kind of our schemes and X's and O's aspect of it. Brent Hubbs, I heard, you know, and I agree with him when he said it, is he believes this staff and Josh Heupel can scheme people open, that they get people open, that their schemes seem to work. And I agree. I mean, it seems like this, if we had wide receiver, you know, it's ifs and buts, you know, but if we had wide receivers that could actually catch a ball when the quarterback delivers it to them, and if we had a quarterback that could actually hit the open receivers, we would have beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was not a better team than us. They just had a better quarterback, in my belief. Well, penalties obviously hurt us, but it seems like this offense gets people open, but the quarterback and the receivers are just not executing like they need to, and I think that's been – of all the issues that we have, I think that's been really the main issue, in my opinion.
I would concur that the receivers are getting open and they're not on the same page all the time with the quarterback's inability to hit them. Tim, is that something you think is easily fixed?
You say they are getting open?
Yes.
Are? Okay. I'm not sure I agree with the are getting open all the time. I think we've missed open guys running down the field. I think a lot of times the problem is happening because our primary receiver's not open. It's our secondary, our third receiver that's open. And when that happens, I think we're freezing up. We're not making the progression quick enough. I know this much. If we hold the ball back there 5 or 6 seconds, we're going to get flattened. We got a quarterback that's been prone to fumble. He's fumbled twice in the short number of plays he's been in. And if he lays it on the ground down there at the swamp, it's going to be a long day if he does that.
He also got lucky. He had another fumble yesterday that almost was recovered by Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, yeah.
On an exchange, handoff exchange.
Yeah, and we got to clean that up. I mean, stick it in there, pull it out, one or the other. And against Florida, think about pulling it out a lot and running with it because you're pretty good at it. That'd be my advice to him. Run often and early.
Well, guys, do we – you know, you saw Alabama, right? And they beat Miami. Miami has been proven not to be that good. I mean, they should have – they almost lost to App State. I mean, I don't think Miami's a juggernaut. You see Florida, they haven't played anybody. The teams that they beat weren't really any good at all and sometimes didn't look very impressive. I mean, you can go down the list. You look at Clemson. I mean, it just – I don't know if we actually know how good Alabama actually is or how good Florida actually is because – the one good win that Alabama has, they beat a team that's terrible, in my opinion. I mean, I don't think Miami's very good at all. So
Michigan State beat them also yesterday, Miami.
Michigan State beat Miami?
Yeah. Beat them, I think, handily.
I hope you're right.
I know. I get what you're saying,
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. Yeah, believe me, I'll just pray you're right. Yes.
I'm interested to see, I guess you won't know, but it makes me wonder how good are they really, but they're obviously, I mean, Alabama's definitely better than us. I'm not saying that, but, I just think it's interesting. There's not been a lot of teams that look good. Clemson looks rough.
Clemson's offense is really hurting. Yeah. I agree with that. And I think,
it's rough.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I had to pick a front runner for the national championship right now. I'm not sure who I'd pick. I agree with you. That was not the best Alabama performance I've ever seen yesterday either. Alabama's going to have some tough football games this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I heard this was going to be their greatest defense ever under Nick Saban. There is no way that defense is even close to being their greatest defense under Nick Saban.
Missed a lot of tackles.
I did not hear that. I heard it would be a better defense than it was a year ago. I didn't hear best ever. Best ever, I mean, heck, they gave up 11 points a game about 10 years ago. That's whoever made that statement, probably not very well educated.
Jimmy, it blew. That's what scared me to death when I heard it, because it was before the Miami game, and they were saying it was the commentators, and they were saying a lot of people believe this is going to be Nick Saban's best defense ever. And I'm thinking, my God, that's all we need, you know. And
so, I don't know who a lot of people were, but that was an ill-advised comment.
Yeah, it's clearly not the case, but I think it's going to be interesting. But you know, I'll just say this: I think Georgia and Ole Miss are the two best looking teams I've seen so far. I don't know what y'all think, but Ole Miss and Georgia look really good to me.
There's been a lot of good defense out there this year, either a lot of bad offense or a lot of good defense. But the Alabama team in the past couple of years has been winning with offense. They have been. And they won with offense. In my opinion, they won the game against Florida with offense. So I don't think it's near the best defense Alabama's put on the field under Saban. I didn't think that at all.
Yeah.
I just think that they looked at a way scary, way above level playing of the games that I've seen Tennessee play this year. And I'm worried. I'm worried about the crowd noise. Let me say that again. 2 years with no crowd noise. 2 years to be able to call anything you want at the line of scrimmage and go down there and not be able to hear and only have probably 4 healthy offensive linemen. And, wow, I don't know. I think it's a tough – it's going to be tough.
Hey, guys, we only practice in the morning time and during the whole summer. We only practice during the mornings. We did not practice during the heat of the day. Do you guys know what the weather's going to be like in Florida for this game?
Haven't looked.
Because we haven't played a hot game yet.
No, it is a night game. So
it is.
That'll help. That'll help.
7 o'clock. Yeah, okay. That should help. By the way, on Alabama, do you know who led the SEC in scoring defense last year?
Who?
Alabama. They gave up 19 a game. Now, their best defenses gave up 9, 10, 11, 12 points a game. So, and now also offenses are more explosive now. I mean, they couldn't stop last year. And they couldn't stop Florida last year. They couldn't stop Ole Miss last year. They stopped a lot of other people, but they sure couldn't stop those two teams on defense.
Ole Miss did what they wanted to.
But yeah, they did. Well, when you got Nick Saban accusing you of stealing the signs, then you got a pretty good offense going. So, which we appreciate it.
Yeah, they. Yeah, guys, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. So anyway, let's go to Tim. Tim, you're on Sunday Sports Handoff.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning.
Well, I think basically just my overall opinion. I think that. I was listening to y'all and that previous caller right there, and I will back that caller up. I actually heard the same thing from the commentators about the Alabama defense of this year, and I thought the same thing he thought. I thought, man, that's all we need. But obviously, that's not true, and I agree with you, Jimmy. I kind of looked that up a little bit, and, you know, 10 years ago, they had an outstanding defense that gave up very few points. But after that, how do you think we're going? I mean, I know we don't know, and I know you just said that, you know, 2 years, crowd noise and stuff like that. I mean, you know, everything's up in the air right now. I agree with some of the what you said about some of the colleges this year and the offenses. Is some of the teams are down a little bit. Clemson's offense is down, and a front runner is really hard to pick this early on. But I kind of think that we'll go down to the swamp, and I think we'll put up some points. And I think that, you know, I'm not thinking outside the box, but I'm thinking that, you know, we have somewhat of, if we can control the turnovers and we can move the ball that, you know, at times yesterday when Alabama needed to move it on the ground, they did. But if you take the quarterback running away from Florida and they really didn't move the ball at all on the ground, I don't think. Now, I could be wrong, but, you know, that quarterback, I think he rushed for 70-something yards against Alabama.
Well, I'll just give you some numbers. Malik Davis, 10 carries for 86 yards. Wright, 7 carries for 58. And Damian Pierce, 7 carries for 24. They ran for 244 yards. The quarterback had 77 of them.
Man. So, we've got a quarterback that can do the same thing. So I think it's going to be an interesting game next Saturday. I really do. I really do. I think we have a shot. I do. I mean, you know, I know everybody's opinions are different. And that's what it's all about. But as far as depth, is what might get us.
You said Tennessee can put up points. So define that. Is that 24? Is it 30? What are you thinking?
I don't know. I mean, who knows? If we get into a shootout, it's the SEC. You know, I mean, I think we can score. If our quarterback is on point and our wide receivers, you know, they had some drop passes yesterday also. Some of the passes that from our quarterbacks through our wide receivers, we had some drop passes too, hit them in the hands, et cetera, et cetera. But I think if we go down there and play an almost flawless game, that we can put up some serious points against Florida. I mean, I think we can put up 30-something points against them. I really do. Our defense has really been spot on at times. Who knows what's going to happen? But, you know, it's the SEC. But I really think talent-wise, we can go down and score some points. We don't have no depth. I understand that. Even on the we're hurting in depth everywhere. But I think talent-wise, we can do some damage just as well as Florida can. I really do.
Okay.
I hope you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I'd love to have a win to talk about next Sunday morning. That would be that'd be phenomenal coming here to be talked about. I bet those phone lines. I bet I wouldn't get a word in edgewise. I bet everybody
would have all the
answers. That's I'd say
you could take only you would only be able to take what breaks you could. You know, you'd have what the radio show
I'd be glad to eat crow for 2 hours. I'd love to.
Well, you know, I know that's right. And, yeah. You know, it's a you know, start of the season, we wasn't picked to do anything at all. We wasn't picked. Nobody had us in the talk of anything. You know, and every year everybody gets hyped about things and everybody starts hollering this and hollering that or whatever. But if you sit back and really watch us, man, I mean, you know, my hat's off to Coach Heupel for coming in, taking over what he was given, going out and finding people in the transfer portal that we could possibly get to even give us an outside shot of beating some teams that we wasn't supposed to. You know, and that's basically what he's been given for this year. And I think so far that, you know, he's going to be all right. We're going to be all right. It's just that, you know, our fan base, man, we don't have no patience. We haven't had patience in years here. I mean, we've taken it on the chin all the way back to Lane Kiffin days, you know. I mean, it's been crazy. But, you know, I would really like to sit down next Sunday with a cold beer and watch that game and say, man, and this turn into a – if it's a shootout, it'll be a fun shootout. If it's a defensive battle, it'll be a defensive battle. But I think that we got something for them, too. We got a quarterback can do just as much damage on the ground as either one they got down there.
You might need two cold beers.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Exactly.
One for each half. So,
yeah, there you go.
Tim, we appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you.
I appreciate you guys.
I'm going to watch the game on Saturday is what I'm going to watch it. Now, he can watch it on Sunday if he wants to.
That's right. Maybe I'm he's watch already it had some cold beer.
On Sunday, I'm going to be watching the purple.
There you go. When we come back, it'll be our final segment with Tim Irwin. I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Sunday Sports Sound Off on 107.7 WIVK, 99.1 The Sports Animal, brought to you by the Marco Scarza Law Firm.
Josh, you mentioned that before Pitt, that the last 48 hours you weren't where you needed to be, but you got better. What do you mean specifically by that?
Just our mental approach, or keeping what's important from our players' perspective. You know, that's as detailed as I'm going to get right now.
Tennessee coach Josh Heupel talking about how his team isn't where he wants it to be 48 hours before kickoff. Tim, what do you think goes into that? He's talking about mental approach. What do you think he's referring to there?
Well, they're not where I want them to be either, Jimmy. I want them to be 3-0 before we go in this tough stretch. I don't know what he's talking about. That would lead me to believe, just hearing that comment, that somebody was breaking some rules or doing some things that weren't getting you ready for the game, or breaking the COVID protocols, or you know, doing something stupid that's putting the team's performance at risk. That's what it leads you to believe. I don't know what happened, what he's actually talking about. But, yeah, I expect they'll be more focused with the travel on the road, going down the night before, all the stuff you do. So I always thought it was easier and less distracting to play away. You don't have people coming in for the game, hitting you up for tickets, All that stuff going on. You don't know anybody in the cities you're going to. You're isolated. You're in a hotel. I always thought it's easier to get ready mentally on the road. I really did. Mm-hmm. Now, it's tougher to play on the road because of the crowd noise. I can't tell you, listeners out there, how big a deal that is for an offensive lineman. You saw it a little bit. You saw Alabama struggle with it down there. And I'm telling you, that crowd noise was a 7 to 10 point difference in the ball game I saw yesterday against Alabama. I firmly believe that. And it'll be a difference in this one. We'll have to overcome it.
All right, let's hear more from Velus Jones, who had a big game yesterday. Here are some of his post-game comments, starting with his kickoff return.
Velus, take us through the opening kickoff that you almost housed and the reaction when it was called back.
Just like watching film with Coach Eck, great special team coach, watching film with Coach Eck, you know, just having those moments we talk and stuff like that, and he was just telling me that I'm a natural returner, and he was just like, you know, feel it. And so that's what I did, you know. It was a short kick, caught it, looked up, and so I was just going to hit like a seam here, but it closed, and I bounced out and hit the sideline, and I just let my instincts kick in.
What makes you a natural kickoff returner?
I guess it's my feel, and I'm an aggressive runner when I have the ball in my hands also. And so, yeah. Just being aggressive and, you know, hitting everything full speed, you can't be hesitant.
Jones was also asked about, has he been getting healthier over the last few weeks after being bothered by that hamstring?
It's all about preparation and stuff. Yeah, I had a hamstring issue at the beginning of the season. But, now, like I said, I feel 100%. And so I'm just, you know, happy to be back and be here with my brothers and battle with them and do what I can, you know, to make sure I put ourselves in the best situation possible. Best situation possible to get a win.
Bayless, what makes Hendon Hooker an effective quarterback?
Man, he's really smart. Can read coverages, and not only that, he's a mobile quarterback that can use his legs, you know, to just get a first down for his team. And also, I feel like his accuracy as well. He's just like a complete quarterback that can move around, really like a playmaker. I look at him as a Deshaun Watson quarterback at Clemson. That's his skill set reminds me of that. So he's just a playmaker all around.
Comments from Bayless Jones, very high compliments for Hendon Hooker. So if I were to say keys to beating Florida, how about Hendon Hooker playing like Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah, heck yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah, I'm good. I'm really good with that. Yeah, I take him playing like Josh Dobbs.
There you go.
And be okay. I need him to do something with his legs. I'm going to tell you the keys, Jimmy. Get a lead in the swamp. Get a lead early. If you can get the lead first, put them down, they might give up a little bit. Now, they didn't against Alabama. Alabama was leading. Mm-hmm. Big score. 21-3, yeah. And they came fighting back. But get them down, kick them down, and maybe they stop believing in themselves. Get them a big lead. You let them get happy down there, they'll kill you. Don't let them get happy early. Get the lead. You know, go with what you got scripted. Make it good. Go fast. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's out possible. It's possible to outrun fan noise. I don't know. We'll find out, I guess.
I'm thinking, I hate to say stop the run, but at least contain the run. You can't get 245 yards, maybe hold him to 150 or
get off the field on third down. Don't let him beat you with his legs.
Got to win the turnover margin, don't you?
Oh, yeah, you got to do that. Yeah, you got to do that. I think score early is huge.
And one other key for me would be connecting in the passing game. If guys are open, you got to hit them. And when they hit them, you got to catch them. If they can clean that up in the passing game, I think that gives them a chance.
So there you go. That's all you got to do. You got to score early, win the turnover battle.
Stop the run.
Stop the run.
And complete passes.
Yeah, do all that. You walk out of there with a W, and it'll be a well-remembered W. I promise you that.
Our caller, Tim, will enjoy a beer on Sunday. So
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Tim Irwin, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to visiting with you again next week.
See you then.
And thank those that listened and that called. This has been Sunday Sports Sound Off, brought to you by Marcos Garza Law Firm.